Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break.
It's time to work on becoming an actor with David Sarcuza. David started his acting, screenwriting, and movie production career in 2021, producing his first full-length feature film, which he wrote, produced, and starred in, The End Civil War, America Divided, within a year of entering the business. And he's the host of Becoming an Actor on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Now, here's your local, not yet famous, not quite Hollywood star, David Sarcuza.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Good evening, everybody. How are you doing? Who's ready to become an actor this evening? That's right. Every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m., we learn about all the ins and outs of this unbelievably awesome industry that I got into about 2 years ago. I don't know, we've done like 33, 34 shows, something like that now, and I've been having a blast with it.
You've only been in the business 2 years? I find that hard to believe.
I know, I'm just a natural, right?
It's
shocking.
Like, amazing.
I've been doing it for 30 years,
yeah.
But no, I have fooled you, Matt. Only 2 years in the business.
That is impressive, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Hey, are you ready to say happy birthday to someone?
Let's do it.
All right.
Anybody we know?
That's somebody I know.
Okay.
I think he's called in before. Anyway, I know he has definitely commented on the show. He says he is listening. So, Pat Quinn, you better be listening. Happy birthday, my friend.
Hang on. Happy birthday.
Oh, we're not. No. We're not singing. I thought you had something queued up.
Yeah,
Never mind.
I was trying to get the Beatles queued up, but I couldn't get there fast enough.
Nope. That's all right. Sorry, Pat. Your birthday's been ruined, so I hope the dinner is good. It's all Matt's fault, so I'll blame him.
Don't worry. I'll refund your birthday present for you.
There we go. What a good guy. All right. Well, after that sad start to the show this evening, we have some great news, some fantastic news. Well, it's fantastic for me anyway. The GL has been secured. K-75 Stunt Academy has general liability, so we are ready to open. Kevin Rigo and I have been in the academy. We have been in the warehouse. There we go. No cheers for Pat's birthday, but definitely a cheer for opening up the academy. So Kevin and I have been in there. We have been tearing the place down, rebuilding it, getting it ready, getting some of the materials in there, the equipment, so we can do some fantastic stunt training in there. We are going to have so much fun. Go to the K-75 Stunt Academy Facebook page, because we're going to have the schedule up there pretty soon. We're basically starting in about 2 weeks on Monday. That is when we are going to have everything done. Jamie Hill says hello and happy birthday, Pat. Ah, that's sweet of her. So the schedule, and thanks for listening, Jamie. The schedule will be up there, so pay attention. We'll have lots of great news. We're going to have a segment coming up pretty soon on Spectrum News on the whole starting of the Academy. We are going to do a soft opening pretty soon. We're going to do a grand opening. We'll have lots of people there, maybe potato chips or something. I don't know, whatever stunt people eat. So very, very exciting. What's on the tap for today's show? Well, as always, we're going to talk about some tips to help you in this industry, and we're going to talk about some festivals as well, and then another little bit more about Pat's birthday. I hope he doesn't stop listening. You know, something about he's going out and celebrating or something. Listening to the show is a celebration, Patrick, and you're welcome. Thanks for the comment there. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. And then at the end, I'm going to come back to talking a little bit more about K-75 and also The Uncivil War, which will be being released very, very soon. I know I've been teasing both of these for a while, but they are coming. Playing off of Pat's birthday, I want to use him as an example on his birthday, as an example of success in this business. Not that he's done anything great. Just kidding, Pat. But he is having fun in this business. And I know he is because I talked to him at basketball on Monday and I said, are you enjoying this business? He said, I love it. It's great. It's fantastic. And that's what this show is all about. Again, we've talked about this before. Not everyone is going to become the next great sensation in Hollywood. That's not what we're going for here. We want our friends, our neighbors, our family to see us up on the big screen, to see us on the small screen. We want to enjoy working with people that we find on film sets that we love. I always love getting on set and seeing Zachary Vasquez or Lexi Baca or Kylie Smiling Face or whoever it is. Lots of great people. Cookie running a crew, whatever it is, you get on set, you see people that you like, and it's fun. It's exciting. It's great, right? That's why we get into this business. Not to make big, big dollars. Everyone thinks about that. That's not what it's about. It's not about being seen at the Oscars. It is about having a great time and along the way advancing our careers. So that's what Pat is doing. Pat got on the set. What do I always say? Get on set. Get on set. Because good things happen when you get on set. He gets on set the other day, and it's a smaller production, but he said it was a fantastic set. He was having a lot of fun. He said, very funny people. He said, it's going to be a great film because he, and Cookie echoed the same thing. Most I've laughed on set before. Very funny guys. But it's a smaller set. Indie sets. You wear lots of hats. Pat got to act as a boom operator. He's working on the sound side. He's doing crew. And it's cool because you learn new things. Now, the next time he is on set, if they run into a scenario, a situation where they need help, Pat says, they say, hey, does anybody know how to work the boom? Pat can now say, yeah, I've got experience doing a boom. They don't have to know he's only done it once. He now has that experience. Yeah, I'm a boom operator. I can do that. And now hopefully he understands how it works. Now, of course, most positions require more than 1 or 2 days or 4 days being on set. But you learn new things to do, new skills that you gain along the way. That's the whole point of this career. Get on set and you get thrown into a situation that you don't quite know what to do, but hey, you're helping someone else, so it's not like they're going to be rough on you. You know, you're helping them. So if you mess up a little bit along the way, they're like, hey, you know, Pat, this is what you have to actually do. This is how it works. And, you know, for Pat, it's a great learning experience. I was a little jealous of him. I'd love to learn a little bit more about sound. I haven't really done much on sound. I got to do boom operator once on set, and that lasted all about 5 minutes. It's like, my arms hurt. This isn't fun. Now, and then, you know, when I asked him about it at basketball, I said, you enjoy it? He said, yeah, I'm loving it. He said, but, you know, I'm also kind of ready to go to the next level. And we all get there. You're like, okay, I've been on set for a little while. Pat's been on set a little bit less than me. Maybe he's been on there for a year. I don't know exactly how long he's been doing it, but he's been doing it for a while now. And he's like, I'm ready to move on to stuff. That makes sense. That's part of the trajectory. That's any job you get into. When you get into a business, I don't care if you're working at a bakery or you're at a Fortune 500 company, eventually you're like, okay, I've been doing this for a while. I want to advance up the ranks. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be getting coffee for the CEO anymore. I want to be doing something better than that. And you start moving up. So he said, you know, I think I'm going to stop taking some of these little things. I'm going to ask for pay more often. I'm going to ask for bigger roles where I'm speaking and stuff. And, I said, that's great. One of the things that I talk about all the time on the show is that when you're doing that, do student films. Student films are a great way to get bigger roles. You want a lot of roles where you're going to be talking and stuff? Do a student role. They're fantastic. They're easier to get. They usually have great equipment. They have fantastic locations because a lot of the times, you know, it's a UCF production or UF or Ringling Brothers, Full Sail. They got all of these great production locations. They've got great studios to shoot at. They've got great equipment because these are big universities. They've got lots of great stuff. Utilize it. Take advantage of that. They'll have faculty advisors a lot of the time. You're getting great advice from faculty advisors. Ask them for help. If you're on set and they're sitting there and they're not really doing anything, go talk to them. Strike up a conversation with them if you can. So use some of those student films to get some experience. I did a couple of student films, and they were great experiences. Definitely a lot more dialogue for me. They look at you as some sort of a master because you're 40 years older than everybody there, which that was how it was on a couple of my sets that I was on for student films. And honestly, I'd do some more student films now. It's not like that I'm above them or anything because I'm 2 years in the business. I just haven't really had a lot of opportunities, time to do some of those student films. But I thought the student films were fantastic. They give you great experience. So anyhow, that's my little springboard from using Pat's birthday. And Zach says that one of his favorite roles to date is from a student film that he did in Miami-Dade College. So there you go. And Zach's one of the best in the industry, so you're getting it straight from him, a student film. Yeah, I agree, man. I had a great experience pretty much every time I was on set for a student film. Again, it makes you feel really old, but great, great experiences. And they're so super excited, too. You want people that are excited to be in this industry, be around college kids that are just getting into it. They are so excited and so into it. And, you know, it's like watching college football versus pro football. I love watching college football because the college players, man, they're so excited to be out there. They're playing for their team, for their school. You get to the pros and I mean, there's a lot of them that give their all and they care, but they're playing for a paycheck. When you're at college, man, they are hitting, they are running, they are giving their all because it is for school pride. It's just different. Okay, I want to talk about some festivals because we have got some great film festivals here locally in the Central Florida area. And I haven't been to all of these, but I just want to talk about them because we've got a couple coming up right now. And I really think if you are not getting out to them right now, you are missing, you are really, really losing out if you are not taking advantage of these because they are a fantastic resource for you. So the first one is TBUF, the Tampa Bay Underground Film Festival. I haven't been yet, but this is their 10th year in business. They mostly focus on indie films, and it appears mostly to be films. It doesn't appear as much on the panels or the educational events. I could be wrong. Again, I have not been to this festival. I have heard great things about TBUF. I have heard a lot of people talking about it. I know a lot of people tend to go to that one. I am hoping that this year coming up, I will be going. That is later on in the year, though. That's December 5th to the 8th. My birthday is December 4th, so maybe I'll spend a birthday at TBUF one of these years. Happy to flatter you, Zach. Yeah, stay in the gym. Keep working out, getting bigger and huger than I am, man. Jerk. Victor is listening. Hey, Victor. Thanks for the check-in. All right, another big festival. This one just passed, and I glowed about it 2-3 weeks ago after I went to it. It was my first time this year going to it. I think I'd been to it before I was in the industry just as a casual observer, but this was my first time really being there. The Dunedin Film Festival, Dunedin International Film Festival, DIFF. I don't know if they call it DIFF or not. I think so. But it's the Dunedin International Film Festival, and it's in its sixth year. It was huge this year. Again, I'm not as familiar with it from years past, but it was really big this year. They specialize in global stories and bringing original content to Pinellas. They've got movies as well as panels with stars, crews, other folks like that. I got to see a couple of the panels. I saw one with Martin and Jesse Cove. There was Tony Armour was there. I saw Lisa, the current Pinellas film commissioner, was in the crowd milling about, but she wasn't in that panel. I don't know if she was in other panels at the Dunedin International Film Festival this year. But that one just passed. That was February 1st to the 4th. Definitely get to that one next year. Okay, one's coming up immediately. March 21st to the 24th. So right around the corner is GIFF, the Gasparilla International Film Festival. Now I got people saying hi to each other on my my Facebook Live. Victor's saying hi to you, Zach. All right, Victor, you're supposed to say hi to me and just me on my show, but that's all right. I'll let this pass because it's Zach. All right, so coming up is the Gasparilla International Film Festival, March 21st to the 24th. Tickets are $15 to $20 for screenings. You can get a weekend pass for $100. This, again, appears mostly to be movies. Not a lot of the panels are educational events, but they showcase films of all types, all genres. It's been around for 17 years now, so check out that one. Again, because I haven't been there before, don't have as much info, but it is coming up very soon, March 21st to the 24th. Again, these festivals are a great chance for you to market yourself, to get out there, to network, to meet other filmmakers, so take advantage. Now, the Sunscreen Film Festival, this is the last one that I'm going to talk about as far as the festivals for tonight. And this one actually is definitely up there as one of my favorites, along with the Dunedin International Film Festival. I really like the Sunscreen Film Festival. This will be my second year attending. It's in its 19th year. It's a mix of international, local, and indie. But the big thing to me are the seminars. They do some amazing seminars. I sat there last year for a couple of them. There were a few of them that I had ticked off that I really wanted to be at, and I was able to make a handful of them. Everyone that I went to, absolutely fantastic. They had entertainment attorneys there. They had distribution companies. They had film commissioners. They had film commissioners from other states talking about the film incentives to go to other states. Obviously, we want people shooting here in Florida, but it's good to hear the differences between what Oklahoma is offering and Tennessee and Georgia, and how does Florida compare? Because end of the day, I love the Pinellas Film Commission. I love the Hillsborough Film Commission, but we have to compete. We've got to get Florida to start upping what they're doing. We've got to get more competitive. And, you know, that's very important. So I love to see what other states are doing, because that shows us what does Florida need to do to compete with them. And it can't just be the Pinellas Film Commission, and it can't just be the Hillsborough Film Commission. It's got to be all of the film commissions. It's got to be all of the state legislatures, whoever is required to pass whatever we need to get more incentives to bring people here. The film industry needs to grow in Florida. All right. So again, there are blocks of educational seminars about filmmaking, about distribution, how to pitch, all these things, a lot more, are fantastic. You can get a 4-day pass for $175, or you can do 50 or 60-day passes. They've got a couple of different day passes, and or you can just buy, you know, individual movie passes. They run anywhere, I saw, I think, from like $5 to $15. Trust me, though, go to the film festival. If you have all weekend to hang out there, I am definitely going to try all weekend this year to be there, April 25th to the 28th. It's at the Sundial AMC 12. It's fantastic. You know, the Sundial, if you haven't been to the Sundial in St. Pete near the pier, beautiful location there. Get out there if you can. Do the full 4-day 25th to the 28th. April 25th to the 28th, because they also have networking filmmaker parties. They have an award ceremony and party on Saturday night. I mean, they really, really do a fantastic job. So, all right, I can't spend all night talking about our amazing film festivals. I really could, because they are just that good. But if you have not been to any, you should at least try to go to a day or two of one or two of them, especially the ones coming up right now, Gasparilla International Film Festival and the Sunscreen Film Festival. It's not a horror film festival. I don't know why I keep saying sunscreen. Sunscreen, like the screen that you'll be watching it on. And if you have any questions, please feel free to call in. Our call-in number is 727-441-3000. If you have any questions about the festivals, if you've been to them before and you want to talk about them a little bit, call in. Hey, John Potash is listening. Hey, John. Call in. Talk to us. I'd love to hear some experiences about the festivals. Because like I said, I've only been to a couple of them. My experience is not huge with them, but I have seen, in the short time I've been there, I have seen a huge, huge purpose for going to them that I did not understand prior to getting into the industry. But that's what happens. You get into the industry and all of a sudden, oh, okay, this is why you go to the film festivals. Now it starts to kind of click with you a little bit, and it makes a lot of sense, right? Okay, let's get to our set terminology segment. I always love to do this. I talk about this. I try to get to it each week. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. If we have guests on the show, I usually am not able to get to it. But these are very important for you. When you get on set, you are going to hear a lot of terminology thrown at you very quickly. And it's kind of like speaking a different language, I always say, because you're going to get on set and you're just going to be going about your time and they're going to be doing this and you're doing that. And all of a sudden someone's going to yell, okay, this is the Abby Singer shot. And you're going to say, what? What are we doing? What are they talking about? What are we doing here? Try to get used to the terminology. So when you're on set and someone says that, you're not deer in the headlights. It's not a big deal if you are. If you are deer in the headlight, don't try and make it look like you know what's going on. If you don't know what's going on, just, you know, turn to someone and say, Abby Singer? What's the Abby Singer shot? And then someone will tell you what it is, and you don't have to look like, ah. But if you already know what it is, it's just a little cooler, right? You look like been there, done that. All right. So number one, I kind of already gave away. It is the Abby Singer shot. And the Abby Singer shot is the second to last shot of the day, named after a gentleman named Abby Singer. He was apparently a famous first AD. I'm not familiar with him. I'll probably get yelled at by a bunch of people in the industry. Oh, how do you not know Abby? He was amazing. I don't know him. I don't know if he was much older or from a long time ago or what, or if he's still first ADing these days. But he would call the last two shots so that the crew could kind of start packing up and getting ready, and they kind of put the unnecessary stuff away, right? Which leads to the martini shot, which sounds awesome, and it is. Well, sometimes it is, and sometimes it's bittersweet, because the martini shot is just the last camera setup of the day again. So at this point, you know, your crew is going to be exhausted by this time. Remember, I always want to continue to drive this point home, because your crew, and I say your crew because you better believe they're your crew. They're there for you to make you look good. They were there before you got there, most likely. They will be there long after you're gone. So thank them. Help them any way you can. Pat them on the back. Do what you can for them. So the martini shot, they're going to try and get the unnecessary stuff packed away now, because they're going to be there packing away the rest of the stuff later. So they want to try and get done with it. I say it can be bittersweet because the martini shot might be the last shot of the day, but there might be still more days that you're going to be on set. So not so bad, but maybe it's the final day of the production, and now it is kind of sad because this is it. You're headed home. This great family that you become attached to, you know, hopefully you keep in touch with them on Facebook and stuff, but you might not see them on set again for, you know, a month, a year, many years. But it might also just be the martini shot for your last day on set. The production's going to continue on, but you might be only that one day, or it's the last day of the days that you're on set. So, John says he's going to the largest found footage film festival in the world in San Francisco at the end of the month, where a film I'm in is having the world premiere. Very cool. Congrats, John. That's awesome. I hope it does extremely well there, and that sounds really cool. Trying to one up us with your largest found footage film festivals in the world, huh? I still like our Sunscreen and Gasparilla and Dunedin International, and what was the other one I talked about? T-Buff or Tampa Bay Underground. But now, congratulations, John. I hope it does fantastic, and I hope you enjoy the film festival. Call us after you get back and let us know how it goes. Okay, this is an important one for you to know here. Terminology number 3 is 10-1. 10-1 means someone had to go to the little boy's or little girl's room. So if you hear someone yell, "Hey, where is so-and-so? We need the talent or actor on set or the background or whatever," they're 10-1. They have gone to the restroom. That threw me the first time I heard it. I didn't, 10-1, I don't know. It makes sense, I guess, now, but didn't know that one. Apparently, it's just being polite. So, a hot set. Hot set kind of is what it sounds like. I think most people would say, you know, if someone yelled at you, "Hey, don't go in there, that's a hot set." I think most people would decode that little cryptic sentence. I lost my train of thought there. The cryptic sentence, couldn't come up with the words. But the hot set is a set that's currently in use for filming. Don't enter. And just importantly, this is one that might throw you. Don't move anything on a hot set, because everything is where it's supposed to be. And for the newbies, that's one that might throw you. "Hey, this is a hot set." Okay. And then you go over and you move something. What are you doing? Because remember, everything has to be left exactly as it is, so that when they come back and they shoot, all of the props are right where they are. You'll see the continuity person will come out and they'll have their phone and they'll be looking at a picture on it, or they'll have their iPod or whatever they're using. And they'll be looking at where all the props are on set. And they'll be walking up and they'll be looking and they'll say, "Okay, this mouse was right here, but it was turned this way. And oh, this phone wasn't there. You got to get rid of this. Who left this here?" You'll see a water bottle on there. So do not touch anything on a hot set. It needs to be left exactly as it is. There is a reason for that. yeah, Zach. It is 10-1 for number one, and 10-2, instead of saying they went number one or number two, yes, it is 10-1, 10-2, from my understanding as well. Again, man, you know, did we have to really get into that? I think people would have decoded it, but thank you for looking out for us, Zach. All right, Basecamp. My audience is so smart. Look at that. Amazing how quickly they come up with this stuff and throw these comments out there. All right, Basecamp. Basecamp is where makeup is, costume, cast trailers, crew parking, catering. It's the largest camp, and it's the first point of call when arriving on set, usually. So usually you go right to Basecamp. They're going to check you in there. They're going to make you sign any forms. If you didn't sign anything online or you missed something, or you're going to get paid right there on set. Sometimes it's awesome in Florida and they just hand you cash. You know, that's, I don't think you're supposed to do that, but we as actors always love that. I mean, if the IRS is listening, no one ever does that. But yes, so when you show up on set, you go to Basecamp. When you're on set, someone might say, "Hey, you know, you guys are good. You can take a break. Just head back to base camp." That's what they're talking about. Go back to the place where everybody's kind of hanging out. Lots of times they'll have crafty there. They'll have tents there. They'll have seats for you there. It's a holding place for you. And base camp is kind of where you get the mishmash. You know, I was on a set a couple of weeks ago, and there was base camp for a gunfighter's deal. And on that one, everyone kind of went right to the same place for base camp. Everyone was there. The talent was there. The extras were there. The crew was there. Everybody went there. Everybody went there to eat. Some sets, they keep you very separated. They don't want talent mixing with the, I was going to say the commoners. The commoners like me, the riffraff like myself. No, they want to keep them separate because you don't want, you know, if you've got someone like a Sean Astin on set or somebody, you know, big Kevin Sorbo, you know, Martin Crane, somebody, Martin Cove, Martin Crane from Frasier, Martin Cove on set, somebody like that, you want to give them their time to themselves. You don't want them having people attacking them for pictures and stuff. So usually they'll have a place to go. They'll have their own room. They'll have their own trailer, whatever it might be. So it might be at base camp, but it might be separated, something like that. Pantomime, of course, this, again, you might be able to get this from... what is my son always calls it? Q's, from local Q's. Oh, it'll come to me later. Anyway, I'm sure you're familiar with pantomiming things, you know, conveying a story by bodily or facial movements without sound. Most people know the term, but I have been on set, and you'll be sitting there doing your thing, and all of a sudden, the director or the first AD or someone will... The sound guy will start scolding or speaking to the background people, the extras, because they're shuffling their feet, or every time they pick up their cup to drink, they slam it back down, or they do this, or they do that. You are pantomiming in the background. Do not make a sound. Don't scrape your shoes. Don't tap your glass. Don't speak quietly. You will get called out. It will be embarrassing for you. Don't get caught doing that. If they tell you to talk quietly in the background, practice doing that if it's difficult for you. If you're in the back and you're pretending to talk to the person, but you're still talking like this, they will pick that up on the microphone. It will be heard. And if they have to burn a take to tell you not to talk, to actually be quiet when you're pretending to talk, when you're pantomiming, they're not going to be happy with you. So pay attention to that. All right, let's get to some tips for the day, because I love going over tips. This hopefully is one of the big reasons why you all are listening, is to get some good tips. So tips to make you a better actor. Hopefully, while you are on set, pay attention to the better actors. I have been on set with a lot of great actors. Sometimes you show up, you don't even know the great actor is going to be there, right? You show up and you're like, oh my God, he's here? She's going to be acting in this? That's fantastic. Watch them while you're there. If you get the chance, if you're sitting there and they're going through their warm-up, if they're getting loose before they go on set, if they're practicing their lines, if they're talking to other actors and they're rehearsing stuff, pay attention to what they do. Learn from them. I always say that you should be networking while you're there. But if you have a fantastic actor on set, pay attention to them. That might not be the time that you want to be networking. That might be the time when you want to watch what does Robert Patrick do when he gets to set and he's getting ready to go on. That guy never broke character. I had no idea I was going to be on set with him. That's really cool. When you show up and you've got T2 standing up there doing his thing, that's incredible. So pay attention. If you are lucky enough to be on set, watch what they do. See how they prepare themselves. If you have the chance and you're with them and you're not bothering them, ask them for tips. You know, hey, why are you doing that? That's an interesting, you know, warm-up to get ready for set. Why are you doing that? Oh, that's great. Hey, anything else that you can... you know, help me out with? You kind of see me act already. We've been in a scene. Did I do anything wrong or right or anything? A lot of the times they're very happy to give you hints. It's like me playing basketball with somebody. I play basketball with this fantastic guy. Jamal is incredible. He is a lot better than I am. At my best, he was better than I am. I absolutely watch. How does he move? How does he go attack the basket? You know, it, get better by watching someone who's better than you. There's also another guy out there, Al, but he's not very good, so I don't really watch what he does. Okay. He's a buddy of mine. All right. So anyway, I've also been on set with some horrible actors. I will never say horrible actors by name. I won't describe them in any way that would ever allow anyone to know who it is. But, I mean, we've all been out there with them. We're watching them and we're saying, hopefully, you know, they're new to the industry. Maybe they're learning. You know, there's bad basketball players out on the court. Hopefully they get better. Hopefully they're learning. Hopefully they're watching. But watch the bad actors to see what are they doing so you know not to do it. You know, if you see someone, John says that I can use his name. Oh, the stuff that I watched, learned watching John, I'm like, oh God, I can't believe John's doing that. Don't ever do that on set. That's just so embarrassing. Not you, John. All right. You're throwing me off my set, John. All right. So, you know, watching background actors make noise. You never want to be that guy, right? Or that gal. People acting before action. I watch that a lot, and I see people, and you can see they're amped up. Maybe they're a little bit newer. They haven't been on set. They don't know how, you know, they go through the motions of, you know, camera rolling, sound, you know, sound rolling, action, and you know they what comes next? Oh, action! Oh no, I gotta wait for action. Oh, they didn't say sound speeding. See, I got that wrong. They didn't say sound speeding. They didn't say action yet. You know to wait, right? And then a lot of the times actors are so amped up and ready to go. And I've done this many times before. They'll say action, but you're supposed to be a second action. So they say action and you start moving. And then you're like, oh, I wasn't supposed to move yet. Cut. Yeah. Dave and John. You guys are not supposed to go until the second action. Calm down. Wait for the second. Yay. Sorry. Right? Pay attention to that so that, you know, you recognize it in the future and you start paying attention to it when you're on set. Watch for people overacting or giving the wrong emotions and see why are they doing that, right? Learn how to act, knowing terminology, knowing how to move on set, how to interact with other actors, you know? When you're at base camp, listen to other actors. Listen to where they're getting roles from. Listen to them talking about actors. You will hear, especially the actors who have been doing it a long time, not that they're the greatest actor in the world. You know, you don't have to listen to, Musetta Vander or Daniel Roebuck. You don't have to listen to great actors that have been on huge sets. Listen to any actor. Find out, where are they getting their roles from? You're probably not getting your roles where Musetta and Daniel Roebuck are. You know, they're big names. You are not. Listen to where John is getting his roles from, or me, or Pat. Pat's still listening. I missed that. You know, listen to where we're getting roles from, because you're probably getting roles that we're getting, or you're going to try and get roles that we're getting. If you're day one on set, you might not get to those. I'll have to scroll up and look at the comments later. So, you know, listen to the other actors when you're at base camp. Ask them where they're getting roles from. People will tell you. And if they say, I'm not telling you that, okay, fine. Don't talk to that person anymore. Go ask someone else. Ask Pat or John. They'll tell you. They don't mind helping people out. So, you know, find the people that will help you and go to them and talk to them. All right, I gotta go up and look. Okay, all right, I didn't miss anything. Okay. All right, read scripts if you can. To me, this is a big one. First of all, this is interesting to me. I had no idea how many great scripts were out there. I was very impressed with my own scripts. I'm like, these are amazing. Everyone is going to love these stories. All I have to do is get them made, and people are going to be begging for these tickets. They're going to be scalping them out on the streets for years to come. Turns out, lots of people write really, really good scripts. There are tons of them out there. Read those scripts. Not to steal them. Do not steal them. Read the scripts so that you can see how many good scripts are out there. So you can learn about different parts, about the way they write the parts. Learn to write a great script by reading other people's great scripts. And then give them feedback and ask for feedback from your script. If you've got a script, send it back to them. Say, hey, your script was great. Here's my feedback. Would you mind looking at mine? Right? I've also learned there are a lot of terrible scripts out there too. So along those lines, and I've heard this a little bit lately, and I hate to hear this, but recently I've heard a few times of people stealing scripts. I don't get that. My first question is always, why? Why would you do that? I don't understand. There's so many great scripts out there. Why would you want to open yourself up to the liability, to being labeled as that type of a person? I don't get it. There are a lot of great scripts out there. If you're out there and you're like, this is the greatest script of all time, I've got to have it. Just don't. I mean, there are so many other scripts. Just go looking. There are great scripts out there. If you can't find one, call me. I got tons of great scripts. Okay. If you are nervous about getting your lines right or about being on set, practice. I get it. This sounds ridiculous. Rehearse. Block endlessly. I talked last week about how the professionals, how the Kevin Sorbos and the Martin Coves of this world, they don't need to block endlessly. They've done this forever, right? Playing against Jamal, Jamal doesn't need to work on layups. He doesn't need to get out there 10 minutes early and practice, right? I might need to. He doesn't. He's been doing this forever. I don't actually, too. I've been doing it forever, too. Plus, I don't take layups. So. But, you know, if they're a professional, they've done this over and over and over and over and over again. They don't need to practice. But you do. You are new to the industry. Rehearse. Trust me. I've been on sets. I've seen where people don't block over and over and over again. And if they're new, what happens is, and this is important for the filmmakers too, because then they get on the set and we say, okay, let's block it. Block it once or twice, rehearse, and say, okay, go. And then there's problems with the blocking because someone didn't do it enough and they forget they're supposed to move here first and then say their line. And then, you know, somebody else forgets a line and then this happens and then that happens. Rehearse before you get on set. Block that thing ad nauseum so that when you get on set, you are smooth. You are going to be invited back to set after set after set. If the director says action, and after being told the blocking one time, because you've already practiced it 30 times with your co-workers or your co-actors out there, and you do it flawlessly now, your director of photography, your sound person, they're going to love you. You are going to be a hero to them. The last thing that they want to do is do the scene 15 times because you haven't blocked it yet. And I get it. Sometimes you have to wait to get on set for the director to block it. Ask the director, hey, we're going to practice blocking out here before we get on set. Now, not when they're in the middle of directing, but if they have a free moment, say, can you just tell us just real quick, just give us a general idea. And then, you know, if you got to run off to do your directing thing, great. But just give us a general idea. Yeah, sure. I've got some time. Okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to sit at the table. This is how you're going to move. This is how you're going to go. Work on this. They're going to love you. You're going to walk onto set. They're going to say action, and you are going to nail it the first time. They'll probably have something. You know what? I told you to do this, but I really want to change it like this, blah, blah, blah. But do that. And then you're going to do it, and you're going to nail it flawlessly again. And they're going to say, my God, John Potash and David Syracusa and maybe even Patrick Quinn, you guys are the best. Zach, you didn't practice. You screwed up, so you're not the best. And you're making Dave look small. So, but, you know, John and Pat and Dave, you guys, you rock. So, you know, practice it. Be a hero on set. It will help you. And look at that. Pat saying he needs 30 tickets for the premiere of the Uncivil War, America Divided. That guy right there. That's why I wish him a happy birthday. Love it. You're the best, man. Go enjoy your birthday dinner. You deserve it. All right. Let's see. Do I have anything else left here? Practice over and over and over again. If you are working with a professional, be honest with them about your nerves. Don't try and hide it, okay? Or if they see it, it's not the end of the world. Probably they're going to say, thank you for letting me know because I want to work with you. I want to get it right. Remember, they want to look good on screen. So they want to see you succeed. Hey, you know, I'm a little bit nervous about this. I don't know about this line. I'm not sure if I'm going to get it right or what I'm going to do with it. And no big deal, man. Have you thought about doing this? I got to do this with a person that I absolutely love. I felt like I helped her on this. It was one of Melissa Cole's first roles that she did, and I was very happy it was with me. And we actually were practicing for a scene where we were the scene itself does not matter. It was one of the action scenes, and she was stumbling over one or two of the lines, and that's something I have trouble with. I'm terrible with memorizing the lines. And I said, Melissa, try this. It always helps me when you have the lines a certain way. Just remember, the first line in your line happens to begin with A, the second one begins with C, and the third one begins with C. That's awesome. If you get lost, just remember, first word in that line begins with A. And it happened to help her because I knew it had worked for me. I had been in the business only a little bit longer than Melissa at that time, but I had some advice to give to her. I was very happy to give it to her. I wanted to look good in that scene. I wanted her to look good in the scene too. So, you know, if you're working with someone that's been doing it longer than you, that's better than you, or even if they're worse than you, but they've got good advice. You know, I'm much worse actor than Melissa. She's much better than me, but I happen to have some good advice for her at that moment that I think helped her. And again, that goes back to blocking. Melissa and I blocked that scene over and over and over and over again. And then when we went out there and we performed it, I thought it came off really, really well. And it was a scene that involved a lot of movement to it. She was walking across the room to me. She had to step around a firearm. She had to pick it up at a certain time. We really blocked the heck out of that thing. And when we got out there, the blocking was super smooth. The dialogue went great. We didn't stumble over anything. I thought it was a fantastic scene, probably mostly because of Melissa, maybe a little bit of me. I'll take a little credit too. But it was because we blocked it a lot. And we worked together. There were no egos on the set. That makes a big difference. So trust me, even if you're out there with a big star, even if it's completely selfish on their part, they're going to want you to look good because they want to look good as well. Kylie is texting me to in the middle of my show, Kylie. Really? Oh, boy. My bestie. How could she do that to me? All right. I guess it was due to something I had texted her, but still. All right, anyhow. All right, so that's about it for that stuff. I do want to let you know, again, I already told you at the beginning of the show, if you weren't listening, first of all, shame on you if you weren't listening at the beginning of the show. Go back and listen to it. But we are all set up for K-75 Stunt Academy. We are getting equipment in there. We are sprucing the place up. We should be opening. I have Thursday the 21st. That is a lie because it will actually be that following Monday. Let me see if I can find a calendar. So I believe it is going to be Monday the 25th. Mark that in your calendars. If I'm wrong, you can show up and nobody will be there and then you can yell at me. But Monday the 25th is probably the first time that we are actually going to have classes. Go to the K-75 Stunt Academy Facebook page, though. All of the information will be there. Kevin Rigo is going to be teaching the classes. I know many, many, many of you in the Tampa Bay and the Florida area in general have worked with Kevin. You know how good he is. Very, very, very focused on safety. The guy is fantastic. So go take classes with him. You are going to absolutely love it. The address is 614 Pinellas Street. We're on the Pinellas Trail, so I'm going to be tackling people on their bikes or, you know, as they go riding by or people as they're jogging by and dragging them in, because those are the people that we want in there. We want good fit people in there, but we just want fun people, honestly. We really want people that just want to work on getting better at doing their stunts. And that does not actually mean that you have to be, ripped and super fit like me, or more likely like Zach. You just have to be someone that wants to learn how to do stunts, because everyone in TV and movies, at some point or another, you're going to do a stunt. You're going to have to trip over a couch. You're going to have to fall backwards into something. You don't have to look like a Greek god in order to be doing stunts. Everyone does stunts at some point. You're walking a dog and the dog, you know, wraps its leash around you, and you have to know how to fall properly. There is a lot to learn, okay? So everyone can come out to take part in this. Like I said, we're on the Pinellas Trail. We're right across the street from Morton Plant Hospital in Clearwater. It's a big peachy warehouse. I had no idea it is peachy. I thought it was gray, but I am colorblind, so it's peachy. This thing is huge. It's 7,500 square feet. We're putting the finishing touches on it. It's awesome. It's got room for everything. Yep, Zach just said he had a great time working with Kevin and I on Uncivil War. We should have done more stunts on that. Thank you for hitting me on that movie. That was great. You're always beating me up, man. So this place is huge. We are going to have production services in there. We're going to have headshots in there. We're going to have reels getting done. We're going to have, if you know anyone that wants to do a boot camp there, you want to do taekwondo, karate, stuff like that, we're going to have a lot of other things in there. Cheerleading, yoga, you name it. I mean, this facility is gigantic. So if you know someone who wants to teach some classes there, you can just, if you're looking to, say you're up in the Oldsmar area and you want a location down in South Clearwater, teach some classes here, build the classes up, and then you can move into your own location when you're ready, right? Don't forget, $100 a month for the first 6 months. If you sign up in the first 3 months, we're open. If you sign up in months 4 to 6, it's $150 for the 6 months, for the first 6 months. And after month 6, it's going to be $200 a month. Drop-ins are $50 a class. So that is an amazing deal. Make sure you're there in the first 3 months to sign up. If you have a production that you want to use the facility, please reach out. 813-267-4087. Give me a call. And as always, folks, have a great week and get on set. See you next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.